How wonderful it is to look out and see faces. The last time I preached was the Sunday after Easter, which pastors expect to be a low attendance, but with the pandemic, I think there were only about a dozen people here that day, our tech team and pastors and some musicians. So it's just a joy to look out and see all of you this morning. Let us pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, it is good to be in the house of the Lord, and it is good to worship together. Thank you, Lord, for giving us such a beautiful day to worship you. I thank you, Lord, for each face I see before me. And Lord, as we look at your word, open it to our understanding, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. As Pastor Carolyn said, our psalm is 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. And because we are a church who loves families, I bring you a family story from the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter, verses 41 to 52. Now Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, they were returning. The boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. We are in the next to the last of our short summer sermon study series on selected psalms. Last week, Pastor Carolyn preached on Psalm 91 with a sermon titled Resting in the Shade. Today, we're looking at Psalm 121, and we're heading to the hills with a psalm that is a keeper. I considered calling this sermon Head for the Hills. The dictionary gives this definition of that phrase as to move to higher ground in preparation for or response to a natural disaster, or to flee hastily, to clear out or depart quickly. I wonder if anyone here or anyone watching on live stream has had the urge to head for the hills in the last 6 months, to get away from the new normal of wearing masks wherever we go. Social distancing, no hugs, kids doing school virtually, people working from home, and you can fill in your own personal challenge. In the phrase, head to the hills, hills are a metaphor for a safe place, a place to seek refuge from some event, or refuge simply for rest. And it seemed like a really appropriate title for a sermon on Psalm 121. But as I worked through the psalm and realized how very precious its promises are, I discovered that Psalm 121 is truly a keeper, one to hold on to. When Pastor Carolyn first asked me if I'd preach on one of these psalms, I hesitated. You may know I do a lot of funeral and memorial services, And the final three psalms of our study are ones that I use over and over and over again. And I thought, what can I say about these psalms that our church family and friends haven't heard me say over and over and over again? But one morning, as I was on one of my long early morning walks, God put 121 on my heart in a special way. It's probably the one I use the least for funerals, and when I do, it's usually just to say a few words about it at a graveside for two reasons, one practical and one theological. As the psalm begins, I lift my eyes to the hills. In western Pennsylvania, it's more common than not to be in a cemetery on a hill. A funeral story. One winter, about 10 years ago, I arrived at Finleyville Cemetery, and there was an ugly rain and snow mix coming down and a gale wind blowing. We all made our way up to a big hill to the graveside where a tent had been erected over the grave, and the wind was blowing so hard that the funeral director and the hearse driver had to stand on opposite corners of the tent and hold it down. As we made our way back to the car, I said to the funeral director, "Why are cemeteries always on a hill? Is there some practical reason?" And he looked at me and he said, "Linda, you're in western Pennsylvania. There's not many places where there aren't hills." And he was right. As the psalmist writes, "I lift my eyes to the hills," the reference could be to western Pennsylvania just as easily as it was written to the hills in Palestine. And the second reason that I use this psalm at the graveside is theological. Psalm 121 ends with the assurance that the Lord's loving care continues beyond the grave as he keeps our goings and our comings forevermore, the last phrase of the psalm. As we are learning how to use the inductive Bible study method in this sermon study series, we're challenged to think of other scripture passages or stories that we're reminded of in the psalms that we're studying. When I think of Psalm 121, I think of that New Testament story from the Gospel of Luke about the boy Jesus in the temple, the only one we have in the Bible about Jesus's early life. This story gives a historical perspective to this psalm as a travel tune. Psalm 121 is part of a group of psalms called the Psalms or Songs of Ascent. While the psalms as a whole were considered the hymn book of the church, 15 psalms, 120 to 134, are thought to have been sung or recited by pilgrims traveling to Jerusalem for sacred festivals or other times of worship. When Jesus was 12, his family went to Jerusalem for one of those festivals, as was their custom, the Passover. It was a three-day trip from Nazareth to Jerusalem, and people traveled in caravans for protection. When the group was a day away from Jerusalem, traveling back home, Mary and Joseph realized that Jesus wasn't with them. Any parent who has searched for a lost child can identify with Mary and Joseph and their anxiety as they searched for Jesus and turned around, went back to Jerusalem, and then their relief as they found him in the temple. Mary's words have a hint of reproach in them as she says, "Son, why have you treated us so? Your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." But distress turns to wonder at Jesus' response. "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" As Psalm 121 closes, there is this assurance of God's care throughout life and into eternity. Having a personal relationship with Jesus offers us a safe and secure place in his home for eternity, even as the boy Jesus was found safe in his Father's house. So I wonder if you or your family have any travel tunes. Some of the young people here may remember when we had vacation Bible school and children got a CD of the Bible school songs, and parents would tell me by the end of the week they knew those songs as well as the kids, because every time they got in the car, the CD would go in the CD player and they would listen to the Bible school songs over and over and over. Of the 15 Psalms of Ascent, Psalm 121 makes an especially good travel tune. It's short, it's repetitive, it's easy to memorize, even I did that. And you heard Cindy sing it so beautifully, it lends itself to a melody. Pastor Steve is going to be singing a song later where the words are from Psalm 121 as well. The psalm begins with the image of hills. The pilgrims traveling to Jerusalem would see the hills of Jerusalem in the distance. Hills offered protection, but they also offered a hiding place for thieves or robbers. Help through the hills happened through the Lord. Within the psalm, in the English Standard Version of the Bible that I use, the word keep is used, or a derivative of it, 6 times in just 8 verses. The New International Version uses the phrase watch over in place of keep, and perhaps that phrase speaks to you, but the word keep is the one that speaks to me. My former career as a banker qualifies me as kind of a numbers geek, so I put this word keep in a Bible study app, and it appears almost 500 times in the Bible. So not only is it a significant word in this psalm, it's a significant word in the Bible as a whole. In the Old Testament, it's often used with keeping a covenant, a lasting promise between God and his people, or between among people. It's used in the Ten Commandments, as we're told to keep the Sabbath holy. There are 96 occurrences of the word keep in the New Testament, and more occur in the Gospel of John than in any other book in the New Testament. It is in that reflective gospel, the one that's so different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that Jesus promises his followers a permanent home in his kingdom. And John records Jesus is saying, whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit to walk with us through life. As he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him because he dwells within you and is with you. In the psalm, the Lord is described as the one who made heaven and earth. As Jesus and his family traveled to Jerusalem to celebrate the festivals, they were celebrating the Lord of creation, the Lord who made heaven and earth, the Lord who has the whole world in his control. You probably remember the folk song, He's Got the Whole World in His Hands. In that song, the verses move from this sovereign God who has the whole world in his hands to a personal God who cares for you and me, for brother and sister, and even for the itty-bitty baby. In the same way, this psalm moves from the creator God, the sovereign God, the maker of heaven and earth, to the personal God, who loves and cares for each person deeply, who keeps each one of us in his protective care. And there are 7 promises within this psalm that make it a keeper. Our study guide suggests noting any questions you have about the passage, and if you were simply to read the first part of verse 3 in the English Standard Version, you might question how this psalm is a travel tune. That verse begins with this promise, he will not let your foot be moved. Well, if your foot isn't moving, you certainly aren't traveling anywhere, are you? This is one place where we need to look at other versions of Scripture as a study tool. The New International Version says, he will not let your foot slip. And the New Living Bible says, he will not let you stumble. And yet other versions translate this as, he will not let you fall. I've never been to the Holy Land, but those who have describe it as a rugged country. And in Jesus' time, people would mostly travel on foot. There was a good possibility you might stumble on the rough, unpaved roads. Coming from the east, the travelers would have to cross the Jordan River. Coming from the west, north, and south, the way is through even more hills. As people made their way to Jerusalem from the north, south, east, and west, they held on to the Lord, who would not let their foot slip. The psalmist writes, he who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The second promise reminds us of the Exodus, where by day the Lord went ahead of the people in a pillar of cloud to guide them on the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to lead them and give them light, so that they could travel safely by day or by night. just as he kept the people on the journey through Egypt. The Lord keeps us throughout the day and night in a world that is so insecure these days, with things changing on a daily basis or even more often. What comfort it is to know that God is our security guard on duty throughout the day and night. Third promise, the Lord is our keeper, the shade at our right hand, who will not allow the sun to strike us by day. For a traveler on foot, the sun can bring about sunstroke and be deadly, even as people traveled through the Palestinian merciless glare of the sun. As people traveled down the Jordan Valley southward, then turned west to ascend the steep roadway to Jerusalem, the sun would be on their left side. The Lord then was described as the shade on their right hand, where they felt more protected from the heat. Then the fourth promise, the moon shall not strike you by night. We don't normally think of the moonlight as dangerous, but there was a superstition that the moon was thought of as being associated with illness. And to a certain extent, that exists today as we talk about strange things that happen during a full moon. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus heals an epileptic, and the Greek word translated as epileptic is literally moonstruck. Protection from the moon might also be associated with the bitter cold that comes in the desert when the sun goes down. The point is, the Lord keeps us safe throughout the day and through the night. Fifth promise, verse 7 begins, "The Lord will keep you from all evil." One of the inductive Bible study tools is to think of where we see the gospel in a passage. Indeed, the literal meaning of evil here, as it applied to Psalm 121 when it was written and used, was God's protection against what was found in the hills along the journey. Things to trip or stumble over, wild animals, robbers, illnesses. But it is through Jesus Christ and his grace that we are protected against the evil caused by sin in the world. And the second part of that verse reinforces this thought, as the Lord will keep your life. Life literally applies to the protection of the travelers here, but life through Jesus Christ includes the hope of eternal life. Jesus said, again from the Gospel of John, "In this world you will have troubles, but I have overcome the world." The psalm closes with the seventh and final promise, "The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore." Travelers going to these festivals in Jerusalem would go out of their house, come into Jerusalem, then go out of Jerusalem, and come back into their homes. Through our goings and comings in life, we are assured that the Lord will keep us in his care. But you can't assign a time to forevermore, and that's what makes this promise even more precious. Psalm 121 addresses the hardships of life that people undergo, even as they look to the Lord as their source of hope in life and death. What does this keeper psalm mean for your life? Where are your hills? To put it another way, what are the challenges that you're facing? In this season of COVID, you could probably list many, and the longer the pandemic goes on, my personal list grows longer and longer. But before COVID, many years ago, one of our sweet senior members put a personal spin on the word hills that I've never forgotten. It was at her husband's funeral. Hang around me long enough and you'll find out I have a lot of funeral stories. She and I were ascending a hill, a steep hill, to the gravesite at Washington Cemetery. We were lagging behind the others, and I was staying close to her side to make sure she didn't stumble or fall. And she said to me, "Linda, when I was a child, my mother and I would come here and bring baskets of flowers to decorate the graves. I used to carry my basket and skip and run ahead of her up the hill. Now I can barely make it." Think of that metaphorically. As the years go by, our hills get harder to climb. They get steeper. But the answer to the question posed by the psalmist in verse 1 is the same for the psalmist then as it is for us today. As we lift our eyes to the hills, where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The word translated as stumbling can also be translated as to deviate from the right course. As we then apply that to our life journey, we acknowledge that the Lord is the one who is able to keep us on the right path or the right way. The early church was referenced 4 times in Acts as the way. The Apostle Paul, in his testimony, writes this: "I persecuted the way," capitalized, "to the death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women." And certainly, when we think about this, we need to remember that Jesus was a traveler as he traveled to the cross, which led him to his death. But God was there too, keeping his life, and as we follow Jesus on the way, he will keep our life as well. When we think about the Lord who protects us from the sun and the moon, it once again brings to mind the Creator and the way that God has ordered creation. There's a rhythm to life brought about by the day and the night. In Psalm 30, David writes, "Weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning." Many have spent nights weeping in this season, and it's a comfort to know that the same God who created day and night is with us through those nights where we can't sleep, assuring us that a new day will dawn. The psalmist writes, "The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life." The Hebrew word nephesh, that is translated as life here, is more accurately understood as soul. He will keep your soul. God is guarding our soul, which is eternal, and the question for us on this side of eternity is, how do we nourish our soul? We're here. We stay connected with one another and with the church, but most importantly, we stay connected to the Lord through prayer, through reading and studying Scripture. So on Thursday evening, I got an email from one of our members who read the e-letter and then walked in the living room and found his wife watching The Sound of Music. He reminded me that in that film, the Mother Abbess quotes Psalm 121 in encouraging Maria and her new family in their escape over the Alps, saying, "I lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help." And then, of course, their travel tune was, "The hills are alive with the sound of music." One of my senior members years ago, and if you're here and listening, let me know, because I can't remember who it was, told me their travel tunes used to be to sing hymns, beginning with one that began with A, all the way to the end of the alphabet, to keep them busy while they were traveling. I can only imagine they started with Amazing Grace and went to Blessed Assurance and Come Thou Almighty King and ended somewhere with O Zion Haste. But that might be something you want to try sometime. I challenge you to memorize Psalm 121, to make its promises your own, to make it your travel tune in the days to come, because it's a keeper. Will you join me in prayer? Oh, Holy God, we thank you for your rich word. Especially, Lord, we thank you for Psalms and the emotions that are expressed within them. There are emotions that we feel in our own lives, and it's a comfort to know that they spoke to people when they were written and have spoken through the years and speak to us yet today. Lord God, as we come together today, we are on the cusp of something new here at this church, a virtual learning center pod, and Lord, we pray for your protection for the children that you will send to us. We know it's a tough time for parents and children as they juggle the responsibilities of work and home and young children in the family. Lord, we just pray that you will come around them and give them your peace, give them your comfort, give them strength, and give them wisdom. Lord, today we do pray for those who mourn. This has been a season of loss for our church family. We thank you, Lord, for the life of Eleanora Thomas and for the huge blessing she was to this church, for helping to establish the Crisis Response Fund and being an administrator of that fund for many years. And Lord, that fund continues yet today. Lord, we also pray for those who need a touch of your healing. We pray for those who will have surgery this week. Ask, Lord, that you guide the surgeon's hand, that you will make that surgery successful, and in all of it, that you will bind up any anxiety and draw people to you. Lord God, we thank you for our college students, who 14 of them, who have left this church and gone on to other things. And Lord, we ask for your mantle of protection upon them. For all these things, Lord, we give you thanks that you hear our prayers. And now we lift our voices in the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.